And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hodnell. This is the Ken Hodnell Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today is March 18th, 77th day of the year. Only 288 days remain till the year's over with. On this day in history, in AD 37, Roman Senate annuls Tiberius's will, proclaims Gaius Julius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, also known as Caligula, as emperor. In 1068, an earthquake in the Levant in the Arabian Peninsula leaves up to 20,000 people dead. 1229, Frederick II, Holy Roman Emperor, declares himself King of Jerusalem in the Sixth Crusade. Jerusalem was a crusader kingdom that had been created during the First Crusade. 1241, the first Mongol invasion of Poland. The Mongols overwhelmed the Polish armies in Krakow in the Battle of Chmielnik and plundered the city. On this day in 1314, Jacques de Molay, 23rd and final Grand Master of the Knights Templars, burned at the stake. Philip the Fair, the King of France, wanted the Templar treasury, and so he got the Pope. Well, he asked the Pope to outlaw the Templars, and the Pope wouldn't do it, so he poisoned him, replaced him with one of his own, and they brought down the Templars. 1438, Albert II of Habsburg becomes King of the Romans. 1571, Valletta is made the capital city of Malta. 1608, Sisinnios is formally crowned Emperor of Ethiopia. 1644, the Third Anglo-Powhatan War begins in the colony of Virginia. 1673, English Lord John Berkeley sold his half of New Jersey to the Quakers. 1741, New York Governor George Clark's complex at Fort George is burned in an arson attack, starting the New York Conspiracy of 1741. 1766, during the American Revolution, British Parliament repeals the Stamp Act. 1793, the first modern republic in Germany, the Republic of Mainz, is declared by Andreas Joseph Hoffmann. Also in 1793, the Flanders Campaign of the French Revolution, the Battle of Neerwinden, took place. 1834, six farm laborers from Tallpuddle, Dorset, England, were sentenced to be transported to Australia for forming a trade union. That was seriously frowned on. 1848, the premiere of Fry's Leonora in Philadelphia is the first known performance of a grand opera by an American composer. That same year, 1848, the March Revolution in Berlin, there's a struggle between citizens and the military. Over 300 die during that little brouhaha. 1865, American Civil War, Congress of the Confederate States adjourns for the last time. Everybody went into hiding. 1871, Declaration of the Paris Commune. President of the French Republic, Adolphe Thiers, orders the evacuation of Paris. 1874, Hawaii signs a treaty with the U.S. granting exclusive trade rights. And that was the beginning of the end for the Kingdom of Hawaii. 1898, Phoebe, satellite of Saturn, a moon, becomes the first to be discovered with photographs, taken August 1898 by William Henry Pickering. 1902, Macario Sakai issues Presidential Order No. 1 of his Tagalog Republic. 1913, King George I of Greece is assassinated in the recently liberated city of Thessalonica. 1915, World War I, Battle of Gallipoli. Three battleships are sunk during a failed British and French naval attack on the Dardanelles. 1921, the Second Peace of Riga is signed between Poland and the Soviet Union. Also that same year, the Kronstadt Rebellion is suppressed by the Red Army. The Kronstadt Rebellion was a 1921 insurrection of Soviet sailors, soldiers, and civilians against the Bolsheviks. It took place in the port city of Kronstadt. Located on Gotland Island in the Gulf of Finland, Kronstadt defended the former capital city, Petrograd, as the base of the Baltic Fleet. For 16 days, rebels in Kronstadt's naval fortress rose in opposition to the Soviet government they had helped to consolidate. First major revolt against the Bolshevik regime on Russian territory during the Russian Civil War, led by Stefan Petrich and Co. They had demanded reforms the Soviets didn't want to give. Okay, 1922 in India, Mohandas Gandhi is sentenced to 6 years in prison for civil disobedience. He serves two. 1925, the tri-state tornado hits the Midwestern states of Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana. 695 people are killed. 1937, a New London school explosion in New London, Texas, kills 300, mostly children. Also, 1937, during the Spanish Civil War, Spanish Republican forces defeat the Italians at the Battle of Guadalajara. 1938, Mexico creates Pemex by expropriating all foreign-owned oil reserves and facilities. 1940, World War II. Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini meet at the Brenner Pass in the Alps and agree to form an alliance against France and the United Kingdom. I just read today that in 1926 there was a Irish woman who tried to assassinate Mussolini, and he had been at an event. He had made a speech. He was walking to his car with security. And somebody yelled, and he turned to look at him, and because he turned his head, instead of hitting him in the nose, her bullet took a piece of his nose. Mussolini didn't want to give her any publicity by trying her in Italy, so she was deported back to Britain, and her family, who were very prominent politically, had her locked up. She stayed locked up for the rest of her life. Let's see. 1942, the War Relocation Authorities established in the U.S. take Japanese Americans into custody. 1944, Mount Vesuvius in Italy erupts, kills 26 people, causes thousands to flee, and destroys dozens of Allied bombers. 1948, Soviet consultants leave Yugoslavia in the first sign of the Tito-Stalin split. 1953, an earthquake hits western Turkey. 265 people are killed. 1959, the Hawaii Admission Act is signed into law. It was formally called an act to provide for the admission of the state of Hawaii into the Union. It was a statute enacted by the Congress and signed into law by President Eisenhower that dissolved the territory of Hawaii and made Hawaii the 50th state to be admitted into the Union. Now, prior to 1959, Hawaii was an organized, incorporated territory of the United States. It was established in 1900 by the Hawaiian Organic Act and 1946, the United Nations listed Hawaii as a non-self-governing territory in administration of the U.S. Also listed as non-self-governing territories under the jurisdiction of the U.S. were Alaska, American Samoa, Guam, Panama Canal Zone, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. The uh, king of Hawaii. I understand there's still one living. 1962, the Evian Accords end the Algerian War of Independence, which began in 1954. 1965, cosmonaut Alexei Leonov left his spacecraft, Vashad 2, for 12 minutes, became the first person to walk in space. 1967, a supertanker, Torrey Canyon, runs aground off the Cornish coast. 1968, U.S. Congress repeals the requirement for a gold reserve to back U.S. currency, which basically created fiat currency. It's money only because Congress says it is. 1969, U.S. began secretly bombing the Sihanouk Trail in Cambodia. That's used by communist forces to infiltrate South Vietnam. 1970, Lon Nol oust Prince Norodom Sihanouk of Cambodia. 1971, in Peru, a landslide crashes into Wanawayan Lake, kills 200 people at the mining camp of Shungar. 1980, a Vostok 2M rocket at Plesetsk Cosmodrome, Site 43, explodes during a fueling operation. 48 people are killed. 1990, Germans in the German Democratic Republic vote in the first democratic elections in the former communist dictatorship. 1990, in the largest art theft in U.S. history, 12 paintings worth over $500 million are stolen from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. If I'm not mistaken, that's the one where the thieves knocked on the door, security opened the door for them, and the rest is history. 1994, Bosniaks and Croats signed the Washington Agreement, ending war between the Croatian Republic of Herzegovina, Herzeg Bosnia, and the Republic of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and established the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina. 1996, a nightclub fire in Quezon City in the Philippines kills 162. 1997, the tail of a Russian Antonov An-24 charter plane breaks off while en route to Turkey. Plane crashes and all 50 people on board are killed. 2014, the parliaments of Russia and Crimea sign an accession treaty. Basically, Crimea was annexed by the Russian Federation. And in 2015, the Bardo National Museum of Tunisia was attacked by gunmen. 23 people, almost all tourists, are killed, and at least 50 other people are wounded. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances. Anniversary of the oil expropriation in Mexico, Christian Feast Day, Alexander Jerusalem, Anselm of Lucca, Cyril of Jerusalem, Edward the Martyr, Fridianus, Salvatore, earliest date in which Holy Wednesday can fall, April 21st is the latest, celebrated the week before Easter in Christianity. In Aruba, it's Flag Day, Gallipoli Memorial Day in Turkey, Men's and Soldiers' Day in Mongolia, Ordnance Factories Day in India, Silas Day in Ireland, Canada, and Australia, and in Syria, it is Teachers' Day. Let's see, what else we got? In 417, St. Zosimus begins his reign as Catholic Pope. 731 on this date, St. Gregory III begins his reign as Catholic Pope. 1167, the Battle of El Babin in Egypt. The Franks under Amalric versus the Syrians. In 1184, we have the Battle of Ichinotani, which took place near Kobe in Japan. 1190, Crusaders kill 57 Jews and bury St. Edmunds in England. 1325, according to legend, Tenochtitlan is founded on this date on an island in what was then Lake Texcoco in the Valley of Mexico. 1438, Albrecht II of Habsburg becomes King of Germany. 1509, Emperor Maximilian I names Margaretha Land Guardians of Netherlands. 1532, the English Parliament banned payments by English churches to Rome. Every church used to send money to the Pope. 1662, the first public birth service begins, promoted by Blaise Pascal, operated in Paris as the Carrosses à Cinq Sous until 1675. 1781, Charles Messier rediscovers global cluster M92. Messier was an astronomer. 1793, we have the Second Battle of Neuwinden. The Austrian army beats France. 1813, David Melville from Newport, Rhode Island, patents an apparatus for making coal gas. 1818, Congress approves the first pensions for government service. 1834, the first railroad tunnel in the U.S. is completed. It's in Pennsylvania. It's 275 meters long. 1847 was the first Dutch public telegram. 1850, Henry Wells and William Fargo formed the American Express in Buffalo. 1871, Communards revolt in Paris. 1877, President Rutherford B. Hayes appoints Frederick Douglass, Marshal of Washington, D.C. He was a well-known abolitionist. 1878, the city of Anaheim in California incorporates for the second time. 1881, Barnum and Bailey Circus, billing itself the greatest show on earth, debuts at Madison Square Garden in New York City. It lasted 146 years before it closed for good in 2017. 1882, Morgan Earp is assassinated by outlaws while playing billiards in Tombstone. 1890, the first U.S. state naval militia is organized in Massachusetts. 1890, German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck resigns office after 19 years after a serious disagreement with German Emperor Wilhelm II. 1891, Britain is linked to the continent by telephone. In 1900, on this date, Japan uses its influence over Korea to deny Russia's efforts to get a naval station at the Korean port of Masampo. This led to the Russo-Japanese War. In 1902, Turkey grants Germany a German syndicate the first concession to build a railroad through Turkish territory to Baghdad. It was going to be linked to Berlin. 1903, following through on its attacks on the Roman Catholic institutions, the French government dissolves the Catholic religious orders. 1914, the White Wolf Gang beats the government army at Qingdezhen in China. Alrighty. Well, we've been talking about Mao men. Because there's been a lot of stories about Sasquatch and the Abominable Snowman and the Bigfoot. Well, they've been seen in a lot of places, which makes you wonder, are they real or is it some sort of paranormal activity afoot? Let's go to Coggs Hall in Essex, England. We have an account from a monk, an abbot, by the name of Ralph. No last name. This was written in the year 1200 in Chronicon Angelicum. The story describes a remarkable capture in the area of nothing less than a definitive wild man of the woods. It happened during the time of King Henry II, when Bartholomew de Glanville was in charge of the castle at Orford. It happened that some fishermen fishing in the sea there caught in their nets a wild man. Now, he was naked, was like a man in all his members, covered with hair and a long shaggy beard. And he eagerly ate whatever was brought to him, but if it was raw, he pressed it between his hands until all the juice was expelled. Now, according to Ralph, he wouldn't talk, even when tortured and hung up by his feet. And brought into church, he didn't show any signs of reverence or belief. He went to bed at sunset and remained there till sunrise. He was allowed to go into the sea, guarded with three lines of nets, but he dove under the nets and came up again and again. Eventually, he came back of his own free will, but later on he escaped again and was never seen after that. Or maybe the Beast Man, or more likely, given the large passage of time, one of its offspring was seen again, although hundreds of years further down the line. In the summer of 1968, one Morris Allen, who grew up in the vicinity of Orford, was walking along the coast near, of all places, the town of Orford itself, when in the distance he saw somebody squatting on the sand and leaning forward as if it was intently looking at something. As he got closer, he could see that the man was dressed in what looked like an animal skin, was savagely tearing into the flesh of a dead rabbit. The man was dirt encrusted with long tangled hair and had wild, staring eyes. Morris could only watch with a mixture of fascination and horror. Suddenly, the wild man held his head up and looked, or maybe a better description would be glared in Morris's direction, as if he had just picked up his scent, scooped up the rabbit and bounded off into the grass and was lost to sight. For a highly traumatized Morris Allen, it was an event destined not to be forgotten. Maybe the wild man of Orford and its surrounding areas continues to live on, tantalizing people with the occasional glimpse of its bestial form. And it can now be said with a high degree of accuracy that in the weird world, there's far more to Orford than just its infamous lighthouse. From England, let's turn to Puerto Rico. On what's now more than a few occasions, researchers have traveled to Puerto Rico in hot pursuit of a wild and varied body of mysteries, most of which have and at least some sort of connection to the controversy surrounding the island's resident blood-sucking nightmare, the Chupacabra. Indeed, when it comes to the matter of strange creatures roaming around the many wild and forested areas of Puerto Rico, it's the Chupacabras that automatically spring to mind. You know, I spent several weeks there once upon a time. And it was interesting to note, in the hotels downtown, the tennis courts and swimming pools were on the roof and heavily guarded. And a lot of the people in the better, what you would call the better sections of town, lived in compounds. And the gates were closed at sunset. It's a little known fact that the Chupacabra is not the only weird beast rumored to haunt the island of Puerto Rico. Although certainly not on every occasion, but on at least two occasions on the island, reports have surfaced and there have been accounts of encounters with what can only be described as Bigfoot-style creatures. Without doubt, the most fascinating body of data on this curious issue came to light in August of 2013. Now, the individual who wrote the report that I'm looking at was on Puerto Rico looking for the infamous goat sucker. Ended up on the receiving end of a varied body of Bigfoot-themed material. But there's something about the Puerto Rican Bigfoot that is a little hard to swallow by the cryptozoologists who believe the Bigfoot of North America, Australia's Yowie, the Yurin of China, and Himalayan Yeti are nothing more than unknown animals of flesh and blood nature. One person that came forward on this inquiry into the Puerto Rican Bigfoot was a ghost hunter and paranormal investigator by the name of Peter. Originally came from Berlin, Germany, but who moved to Puerto Rico in 1996. And his accounts of Bigfoot activity in Puerto Rico were as fascinating as they were controversial. The reports had far less to do with what one might call unknown animals and far more to do with what might justifiably be referred to as downright paranormal anomalies. Now, Peter wasn't just somebody whose files on Bigfoot in Puerto Rico were overflowing. In fact, it was quite the opposite. The number of reports in his archives was less than 20 and spanned from 1970 to 1998, with a number of reports from the year of 1985. Typically, these creatures closely resembled the North American Bigfoot. That's to say, they were large, humanoid, covered in dark hair and solitary. And while most of the reports emanated from or around the island's Hughes El Yunque rainforest, two were rather incredibly reported on the fringes of Puerto Rico's capital city, San Juan. But as is also the case with so many reports of Bigfoot-type creatures that came out of the British Isles, the Puerto Rican reports were filled with anomalies. As Peter explained and demonstrated by sharing the case files in question, there were reports of the Puerto Rican Bigfoot seen in conjunction with anomalous lights in the sky. Although, they didn't appear to be structured UFOs as such. And in conjunction, we're referring to both time-wise and location-wise. Also, reports of the creatures seemingly being impervious to bullets, which is often reported in the North American cases. Certainly the most controversial cases of all, of which granted Peter only had three examples, were of the creature seemingly vanishing into nothing. Again, that here one minute and gone the next angle, the Bigfoot mystery and unknown in the U.S. And it's incredibly difficult to know what to make of the Puerto Rican Bigfoot. After all, right now we don't really have a large body of case files from which to make any conclusions. And on top of that, even those reports that Peter shared were, for the most part, a significant number of years old. and unextended beyond the 1990s. Now, the lack of hard data is not a reason to ignore these cases, nor their attendant anomalies. In fact, quite the opposite. Regardless of what the Puerto Rican Bigfoot is, when there's even a small body of material, the onus is still on us, the researchers and the investigators, to sift the material carefully and thoroughly as possible. Now, you can't say that the Puerto Rican Bigfoot really does lurk in the denser and wilder parts of Puerto Rico, but witness most certainly believe that to be the case. And if you come face to face with it, certainly you're not going to question its reality or where you encountered it. Well, when the word Bigfoot is mentioned in polite conversation, most people get a mental imagery of gigantic, bulky, 8 or 9 foot tall man monsters roaming the frozen mountains and massive forests of the Pacific Northwest. And certainly there's no shortage of these reports. I know of one case at Lookout Mountain where the Bigfoot actually walked into an RV and proceeded to clean house. Certainly there's no shortage of reports. It should be noted, however, that as incredible as it might sound, Bigfoot might not be the only cryptid that calls the United States its home. In Florida, and particularly so in the state's swampy wooded areas, there lives a beast that's been known as the skunk ape. Now, it's a creature whose territory also includes Arkansas and North Carolina. But it's in the wilds of Florida that this creature really dominates. And there's very good reason for suggesting the skunk ape is a distinctly different creature to that reported on the West Coast. Predominantly, it's the difference in height and bulk that suggests the skunk ape and the Bigfoot just might not be one and the same. Admittedly, an argument could be made that the radical differences in the terrain, temperatures, and food supplies in both locations have led to the development of a smaller form of Bigfoot in the Florida region, but that essentially both animals are one and the same. And confounding the matter even more, though, there's the fact that some reports of the creature are more befitting the description of the mammoth Bigfoot, as will soon become clear as we continue. Although there's no firm consensus on what the skunk ape is, Bigfoot or something else of a related nature, there's no denying the rich and diverse body of reports that exist about this creature. And it's important to note the sightings of the skunk ape can't be blamed on the current craze for Bigfoot that tends to exist today. I mean, reports of the hairy upright animal are really nothing new. I mean, they date back decades. Now, a spate of skunk ape encounters occurred in Florida from the late 1970s into the 1980s. The monstrous matter began in early October. 22-year-old man was hitchhiking on US 441, about a half mile from the town of Bellevue. And this is an area noted for its light forest land, something that would have offered perfect cover for a skunk ape. And just maybe it did exactly that. But until it decided to make its appearance known to the terrified man, it was the creature's nauseating smell. I mean, let's face it, they don't call it a skunk ape for nothing. That first alerted the man to the fact that there was a wild animal in the area. And he only realized just how wild it was when the hairy, dark, upright thing made a brief appearance before it disappeared back into the woods. A couple of days later, a security guard at a nursery in Apopka reported to the local police something that was both amazing and controversial. Something resembling Bigfoot, I mean, it had fur or hair of a red-gray color, had attacked him and tore off his shirt. Donnie Hall, the security guard, said he had fired his pistol at it, but didn't have any effect. Then there's a story of a Bellevue welder who saw the creature. He said, "I'm 6 feet tall, and it was bigger than me. And man, did it smell horrible. It smelled like garbage." So which is the local attention given to the sightings by the populace, the press, and even the police that the Florida Game and Fresh Water Commission got involved. Sent out one of his personnel to take a look at a line of tracks found at the Apopka Nursery. Result was that the Apopka tracks appear to be man-made. Now, that, of course, simply means nothing if the skunk ape is actually a five-toed bipedal animal just like us. Then their prints would look like human prints. And, of course, if you've got a government agency trying to tone things down, tending to wipe off the what had happened as a hoax is certainly beneficial. 1 month later, the Ocala National Forest was a site of a startling encounter with a skunk ape. Now, the forest is the perfect terrain for cryptid apes to live and hide in. Runs to more than 1,554 square kilometers, that's 600 square miles. In size, is heavily and densely forested and filled with springs and swamps. And for a large aggressive ape, there's no shortage of potential food supplies in the Ocala National Forest. It's home to red foxes, raccoons, boar, deer, squirrels, opossums, gophers, and the occasional hitchhiker. November 1977 case was reported by none other than a 67-year-old Baptist minister, the Reverend S.L. Watley. He's pastor of the Fort McCoy Baptist Church. It was while he chopped wood on the fringes of the forest that he caught sight of the creature. He said it was standing upright in the middle of some palmetto bushes, and that sapsucker was at least 7.5 feet, maybe 8 feet tall. Now, the skunk ape had dark, lighter than black hair on its head and chest. Not much on its arms, none on its face. It had kind of a flat face, a flat nose, and eyes that were sunk in its sockets. Just playing what some might perceive as behavior not exactly befitting that of a Baptist minister, Watley raced to his truck to grab his axe. As in his own immortal words, me and that creature gonna mix it up. But by the time he got back from his truck, though, the monster was gone. Last words on the matter to the press, alcohol hadn't touched his lips since the 1930s. He wasn't drunk, he saw what he saw. Well, 3 years later, 1980, Altoona, Florida became the magnet for a skunk ape enthusiast. Happens that Altoona is also dominated by the Ocala National Forest, where Reverend Watley almost mixed it up with a monster. And it wasn't the sighting of a skunk ape that caused so much commotion in that town, but the discovery of gigantic size 18 footprints. Of course, opinion was significantly divided on what those tracks showed. Doug Sewell was a chief investigator for the Lake County Sheriff's Department. And when questioned, he came straight to the point. "I think it's a hoax," he said. "There's no indication something that big, something big enough to make those prints, went back through the woods." Now, far less sure that fakery would explain everything away was Lake County Sergeant D. Kirby, who made cast of a number of the massive tracks. Not only did he say that they showed a definitive arching of the step and five toes, he said there was even some wrinkling on the instep, all of which suggests the tracks weren't made by something as down-to-earth as carefully carved wooden feet. According to Kirby, the prints had a full 4 feet of distance between each one of them, and this led Kirby to conclude that the creature had to have weighed somewhere in the region of 1,000 pounds and stood somewhere between 10 and 12 feet in height. Not only does this suggest something somewhat different than the skunk ape, it also describes an animal bigger than the average Bigfoot. It's important to note that if the tracks were made by hoaxers, then the perpetrators chose the wrong place to make them. The site of the tracks was actually a remote area of the forest. The only reason why they were found at all was because contractors working for the Department of Forestry Service were in the area and stumbled on them. The ultimate truth of this issue was never resolved. Well, from Florida, let's turn to Russia. Secret government files created in Russia in 1926 under the regime of Premier Joseph Stalin reveal the details of an astonishing and shocking story that eerily parallels the scenario presented in H.G. Wells' The Island of Dr. Moreau. According to these declassified record, Stalin had a crazed idea to try and create an army of creatures that would be a combination of half-ape and half-man, and would be utterly unbeatable on the battlefield. Well, as a result of Stalin's order, Ilya Ivanov, the former Soviet Union's top animal breeding expert at the time, was given the job by Stalin. He said, "I want a new, invincible human being, insensitive to pain, resistant, indifferent about the quality of food they eat." And shrewd then, maybe anticipating a scenario similar to the catastrophic ending of the Island of Dr. Moreau, Stalin added the creature should possess immense strength, but an underdeveloped brain. Certainly in the eyes of Stalin, if anybody could make the crackpot project succeed, it'd be Ivanov. A highly regarded figure, he had established his reputation under the Tsar when in 1901 he established the world's first center for the artificial insemination of racehorses. But more important to Stalin was the fact that Ivanov had already tried to create a super horse by attempting to crossbreed such animals with zebras. Despite the fact that the attempts to crossbreed a horse with a zebra failed completely, Moscow's Politburo forwarded Stalin's request to the Academy of Science with the order to build a living war machine. An order that came at a time when the Soviet Union was embarking on a crusade to turn the world upside down. Well, at the time Stalin gave the order, the Soviet Union was embarking on a crusade to turn the world upside down with social engineering seen as a part of industrialization. And at the same time, Soviet authorities were struggling at the time to rebuild the Red Army after the devastation of the First World War. And there was also intense pressure to find a new labor force, particularly one that wouldn't complain or go on strike or want to unionize. As a result, in the work mind of Joseph Stalin, the secret creation of a super race of hybrid creatures that combined the intelligence of human beings with the physical strength of larger primates, such as gorillas and chimpanzees, seemed to be the perfect antidote to every single problem facing them. The Russian scientific community swung into action, and Ivanov was quickly dispatched with $200,000 in his pocket to West Africa, where the first such experiments were planned. Namely, the impregnation of a number of chimpanzees with human sperm. Now, Ivanov's now archived reports reveal that the Pasteur Institute in Paris secretly granted him permission to use its research station in Guinea, West Africa, for ape breeding research. Well, as Ivanov later advised the Politburo, the biggest problem is to catch living females. As a result, Ivanov's team learned that the answer to this tricky problem was to burn the trees and chase the apes into cages as they scampered down the trunks. Ivanov also reported on the fact that his team had seized a number of local African women in the area who would have been impregnated with ape sperm. Now, there were no reports of any pregnancies from this particular aspect of the program. More ambitious plans to impregnate female gorillas with human sperm also ended in complete failure. At the same time, a center for such experimentation in Russia was established in Stalin's birthplace of Georgia, where the super apes would be raised if impregnation was ever seen to be successful. Not surprisingly, none of the West African experiments succeeded. But undaunted, Stalin pressed on with an even more controversial plan. He arranged for a number of women volunteers, as he called them, in Russia to be impregnated with monkey sperm in an effort to determine whether or not following this particular route would prove to be more successful. According to the reports, it wasn't. That such experimentation did proceed, though, is not in doubt. Only recently, workmen engaged in the building of a children's playground in the Georgia Black Sea town of Sukhumi found a plethora of ape skeletons in an old abandoned laboratory. In the eyes of Stalin, and as a result of the resounding failure to create an army of man-beasts, Ivanov was now in complete disgrace. As a result of his failure, Stalin sentenced Ivanov to 5 years in jail, which was later commuted to 5 years exile in the Central Asian Republic of Kazakhstan in 1931. He died in 1932 after falling sick while standing on a freezing railway platform. Although Ilya Ivanov's monsters fortunately never lived, the image alone is enough to provoke the kind of terrors that real monsters cause. And since no government, once they start a program, has ever really let it lapse, did it continue? Stalin was not a man to admit failure. He may well have continued it up until his death. What advances were made? Well, you know, the vast majority of reports on record suggest the Bigfoot creatures are largely solitary and prefer to stay away from humankind as much as possible. And even when Bigfoot and humans do cross paths, the beasts generally use intimidation to ward off their unwelcome visitors. And maybe even stranger methods such as infrasound. Even though Bigfoot is normally described as shy, there are rare and frankly not entirely verified accounts of Bigfoot mutilating, killing, and even eating people. And we have several accounts of groups of Bigfoots, Bigfoot creatures, attacking logging operations. Now, these type of reports are in the minority, though, unless one is of the opinion many of the thousands of people to go missing in the U.S. every year are helping in, I guess you could say, an unfortunate way to feed and fuel Bigfoot by becoming hors d'oeuvres. All of which brings us to a creature that has been greatly feared by Native Americans, the Wendigo. Now, a terrifying thing that appears predominantly within the lore of the Algonquin people, the most widespread and populated of the Native American groups, with tribes originally numbering in the hundreds, the Wendigo is an evil, cannibalistic, rampaging creature with the ability to possess human souls and minds and force them to do their dark bidding. Humans have the ability to transform into a Wendigo if they've been engaged in cannibalism. Notably, in past centuries, those who were suspected by the Algonquin of being Wendigos were decapitated after death to prevent them from rising from the grave and going on slaughtering and people-eating rampages, somewhat reminiscent to the treatment in Europe given to suspected vampires. Many of the reports of the Wendigo are focused around large forests, freezing cold and winter environments, and dark woods of all types. In light of that, there's a theory that the stories of the Wendigo are the result of a distortion of real events involving Native Americans who were forced to resort to cannibalism when food was scarce in the winter months, or tales told to try and dissuade people from cannibalism by making them think that eating human flesh would turn them into a Wendigo. That the Wendigo is very often described as large, marauding, humanoid beast that dwells deep in the forest suggests we might ought to leave the door open to a highly disturbing possibility. Maybe in times gone by, and in very remote areas, Bigfoot may view us as its prey. Now, one of the creatures I mentioned earlier, the Yeren, next to the legendary fire-breathing dragon, it's China's most famous monster. It's a huge, unidentified ape that almost certainly, in terms of its close proximity, has connections to the abominable snowman of the Himalayas and the various large, similar animals said to roam the huge mountains, such as the Yamo. And while the Yeren has been seen in a number of areas of China, certainly the one area, more than any other, that is a hotbed of these reports is Hubei, province located in central China. Now, it's a vast place dominated by numerous mountains, including the Daba Mountains and the Wudang Mountains and the Jinghan Plain. Hubei is a province through which flows the massive, nearly 4,000-long Yangtze River. It's specifically the western portion of Hubei in which the Yeren has been spotted. That's an area noted for its dense forest and treacherous mountains. As for what the Yeren are, now that is a big question. At the top of the list is Gigantopithecus, a massive, presumed extinct ape that certainly dwelled in China hundreds of thousands of years ago, and which perhaps may not be quite so extinct after all. At a close second is the theory that the animal represents some form of huge, unacknowledged kind of orangutan. Interestingly, just like the Bigfoot in the U.S., the urine comes in a variety of colors. It's been described as being red and brown, and even on a few occasions, black. As for its height, while most reports describe the creature about the average height of an adult human male, up to about 8 feet, there are a number of cases involving colossal mountain monsters in excess of 10 feet. Despite their imposing appearances, though, the Yeren are said to be relatively placid, quiet creatures that actually shun contact with humankind. Now, sightings of the Yeren can't be blamed upon hype born out of the fascination for Bigfoot. That much has been abundantly clear by the fact that reports of these immense creatures have been reported for centuries. A translated 17th century document from Hugh Bay notes that on the remote mountains of Foxhound County, there are rock caves in which live hairy men as tall as 3 meters. They often come down to hunt dogs and chickens in the village, and they fight whoever gets in their way. Of course, the final comment about the creatures being prone to violence suggests that if one day you're confronted by a Yeren, don't assume it's as docile as many cryptozoologists claim it to be. And also, the reference to the Yeren hunting dogs adds weights to the notion dogs and Bigfoot are hardly on friendly terms. We've seen a number of stories about that in the past. The evidence for the existence of the Yeren in more recent years is equally impressive. 1940, it said the body of a dead Yeren turned up in Ganzhou. Female, over 6 feet in height, was examined by a biologist named Wang Zilin. Interestingly, Zilin was unable to figure out if the beast was some form of ape, a primitive human, or something that was perhaps a combination of both. In the biologist's own words, around September or October, we were traveling from Baoji to Tanshu via Jinglu City. Our car was between Jinglu City and Nianyang Plain when we suddenly heard gunshots ahead of us. When we reached the crowd that surrounded the gunman, all of us got down to satisfy our curiosity. We could see that the target had been a wild man that was already dead and laid on the roadside. Now, the body was still supple and the statue was tall, approximately 2 meters. The whole body was covered with a coat of thick grayish-red hair that was very dense. It was lying face down, so the more inquisitive of the passengers turned the body over to have a better look. And it was realized when they turned the body over that it was a mother with a large pair of breasts, the nipples being very red as if it had just given birth. The hair on the face was shorter, the face was narrow, with deep-set eyes, cheekbones and lips jutted out. The scalp hair was roughly 1 chi long and untidy. The appearance is very similar to the plaster model of a female Peking man, but its hair seemed to be longer and thicker than that of the ape man model. And it was ugly because of the protruding lips. According to the locals, there were two of them, probably a male and one male and the other female. They'd been in that area for over a month. They had great strength, frequently stood erect, and were very tall. Though brisk in walking, can move as rapidly uphill as on the plain, and as such, ordinary folks couldn't catch up with them. They didn't have a language and could only howl. Well, in the 1970s, specifically May of 1976, there was a fascinating story of a number of government personnel, all based in Hubei, they drove along a stretch of road dominated by thick woods in the early pre-dawn hours, came face-to-face with a Yeren. In its haste to escape from the approaching jeep, the red-haired creature raced up a slope, lost its footing, and rolled down to the road, landing upright in front of the shot group. Reportedly, the animal didn't rear up onto its legs, but took a crouching stance, maybe intended to intimidate the group by provoking fears. It looked like it was about to attack them. Fortunately, it didn't. What did happen is the beast raced off again after one of the men threw a stone in its direction. And although the creature had undeniable physical traits of an ape, its eyes were described as being eerily human-like, displaying intelligence and inquisitiveness. The sightings of the creature continued to be reported in the 70s and then into the 80s. The Chinese Academy of Sciences got in on the act and established an ambitious program to try and resolve the mystery of the Yeren. Now, this wasn't an easy task, and no hard, reliable, undeniable evidence ever surfaced. However, that's not to say there was a shortage of credible witness testimony. In fact, the reports poured in. One such witness said to the Academy about their contact with the Aaron. He was about 7 feet tall, with shoulders wider than a man's, sloping forehead, deep-set eyes, and a bulbous nose with slightly upturned nostrils. He had sunken cheeks, ears like a man's, but bigger, and round eyes, and also bigger than a man's. His jaw jutted out, and he had protruding lips. His front teeth were as broad as a horse's. His eyes were black. His hair was dark brown, more than a foot long, and hung loosely over his shoulders. His whole face, except for the nose and ears, was covered with short hairs. Arms hung below his knees. Had big hands with fingers about 6 inches long and thumbs only slightly separated from the fingers. He didn't have a tail, and the hair on his body was short. He had thick thighs, shorter than the lower part of his legs, walked upright with his legs apart. Feet were each about 12 inches long and half that broad in front and narrow behind, with splayed toes. Clearly he was a male. That much was impossible to mistake. Moving into the 1990s, as Monster Authority Brad Steiger noted, in October 1994, the Chinese government established a committee for the search for strange and rare creatures, including among its members specialists in vertebrate paleontology and paleoanthropology. A loose consensus among interested members from the Chinese Academy of Sciences maintains the Yeren as some species of unknown primates. Today, the search for the Yeren in China continues in much the same way that Bigfoot's sought in the United States and the Yowie in Australia. The problem with one of these creatures is once you get them, what do you do with them? And then, of course, one of the most famous creatures is the Yeti. Now, Bigfoot is certainly the most famous of the world's many and varied hairy man-beast, but a close second is the aforementioned Yeti, also known as the Abominable Snowman. The specific region in which this beast is said to roam is the Himalayas, a vast mountainous expanse that dominates Tibet. In the same way that the U.S. appears to be the home of several distinctly different creatures, such as the huge lumbering apes of the Pacific Northwest and the skunk apes of Florida, there also appears to be more than one kind of Yeti. Reportedly, they range from man-sized creatures to enormous giants close to 20 feet in height. And of course, claims of such extreme and extraordinary heights have to be treated cautiously. They may be distorted accounts of encounters with animals of smaller stature, but no less impressive, maybe around 12 or 13 feet tall. When you're being attacked by something that big, whether it's 13 feet or 300 feet, it looks like a giant to you. And there's another Bigfoot parallel as well. Native American tradition tells of ancient awareness of the hairy beasts of the United States. Likewise, tales of hair-covered giants roaming Himalayas also extend back into the fog of history. Take, for example, the stories of the Lepcha people. They're among the oldest of the various tribes that inhabit Sikkim, situated in northeast India. Their presence, though, extends into Tibet. It's not surprising, then, that they may have encountered Yetis during the course of their travels and expansions. Indeed, their legends tell of Goliath-sized hairy humanoids that live high on the Himalayas and use rocks to kill their prey, such as goats. In terms of the relatively modern era, it was in the 1800s that matters became particularly intriguing. In the early 1830s, an expedition was launched into the Himalayas by a skilled mountain climber named Brian Holton Hodson. According to Hodson, my shooters were once alarmed in the Qatar by the apparition of a wild man, possibly an orang, but I doubt their accuracy. They mistook the creature for a kakodemon of or rakshas and fled from it instead of shooting it. Said they it moved, they said, erectly, was covered with long dark hair and didn't have a tail. Well, we're going to continue our discussion of the Yeti in tomorrow's show, but for right now, we've run out of time. So once again, you've been listening to Ken Hudnall, and this is the Ken Hudnall Show, and we will see you tomorrow.